It's the baby. It's the baby. Check it out. Let's go.
You're in tune to the new routine. New podcast putting artists on the scene. Unsigned hype sounding oh so nice. It's the boy Redhead. Keep the dubs all right. About to make your neck hurt. Drew B and Big B bring the pressure. Courtesy of IDS Network. All y'all know when the clock just froze and you want something dope. It's the start of the show. Let's go. It's the baby. It's the baby. It's the baby.
What's going on, good peoples? It's your man, Big B. Welcome you back to another edition of The Uncast. I know it's been a minute. We shouldn't have held you so long. But you know, things happen. We persevere. We live through it. We make it happen for you. So like I said, I am your man, baby. I got my crew with me today. My crew today consists of Mr. Longfingers.
Good morning.
We got Mr. Sleep. Damn.
What's the word, by 5 minutes.
How y'all doing?
And we have Mr. J-Dub.
What's good?
I was going to say something that would have been so pause worthy. I'm so glad I stopped myself.
Oh man.
So we had something to do with your last name, so I guess you can see where that went.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay.
Had to stop that one.
Nice.
I need to take a drink, man. Let me take a drink on that one.
So before I throw you all under the bus, do you want to jump out there and tell the people on why you've sabotaged the show? No, I'm just kidding. Do you want to tell the people what you guys have been up to since our last show?
Well, you know, been listening to, checked out that new Logic album. I thought that was pretty cool. Checked out the Carter Five, of course. All the new stuff, you know, that's the beauty of Apple Music. It presents you with all the new stuff, so you check it out. $9.99 a month, can't beat that. Had a whole bunch of instruments. I'm still on the instrument. I'm still trying to find my rhythm as an artist, too. I still have aspirations, even though I'm getting gray in the beard. But, yeah, so just instrumentals, probably the, get a little bit, hey, look, I'm still 35, man, so I feel away. Yeah, but yeah, so just pretty much the new stuff, Logic, I really enjoyed that the most, I can speak to that the most.
No doubt. Jay Dizzy.
Let's see, so me, you know, Conway just dropped, I think probably like 2 weeks ago, you know, I listened to that new Conway joint. Young Chris just dropped the joint I was listening to for sure. That fucks with that. And then, Don Q. I was listening to Don Q. I don't know if y'all listen to Don Q. I listen to his a little bit, Don Season. So that's mostly what I've been listening to for the most part.
Fingers.
Let's see. My steadfast grip on 80s and 90s hip hop is gradually being loosened. I'm being introduced to new albums and new artists, you know, courtesy of my man at work, Jay. Shout out to him. But, you know, Sci High the Prince and Royce of 5'9", and, you know, some other artists like that have put out some real good material that gives me hope for hip hop music, you know, at least, you know, a lot of stuff that I wasn't privy to before. So that's what I've been doing, and also just completed another trip around the sun. So, shout out to me for that.
Happy belated, my brother. I've been in a certain kind of space lately, fellas. So, I've had in heavy rotation Emile LaRue.
Wow.
Ice cream every day. I think I've burned a couple tracks off of that chip somewhere. So been on that lately. Other than that, I've just been just digging up a whole lot of just old music, just for some reason, like just random lyrics have just been like popping in my head, like when I wake up. And so then I'll go and pull that song up to see like songs that I knew from my childhood and kind of knew the hook, but you never knew what the hell the song was really talking about. So I've been going back through a lot of that shit, like some old spinners and shit like that. I don't know why the fuck that's what's it might have been
because heard it in the grocery store or
something. I don't know. Either that or because I was recently roofied, so I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
My fucking brain has been reprogrammed some sort of way.
Oh man.
But anyway, that's what I've been having in rotation, man. Pray for me. That's all I can ask. So let's rap a little bit about what is going on out here. I mean, we didn't touch on everything because, you know, that's what social media is for. Social media brings all that shit to your lap, whether you want it or not. But let's just rap about a couple things that's going on that caught our eye.
All right, well, unless you've been living under a rock, you know all of the noise around Kanye West and his ridiculous statement, one on top of another.
You ain't got the answers, right?
The one good thing that I did get see something about is that Nas is working on the follow-up album. You know, the first one was produced.
Is this going to be the good one?
It's promising. We'll see. You know, as you know, Kanye West was a chief producer for the one that he just dropped. But the RZA is supposed to be working closely with him on the follow-up to this. So that's interesting. You know, he was on the RZA track on, I think it was Ghostface album. Raekwon the Chef's album. That one where Ghostface had that line, February niggas screaming I got took. That one. So.
Hey, so is this on Good Music too?
Huh?
This new album's on Good Music too?
I think so.
Oh.
So, do you think he should, or why do you think he hasn't gone back to the same quote unquote bitch he brought to the dance by going with that original mega lineup of producers from Illmatic? Like, why won't he try to revisit
What's always interesting to me about that is you have all of these artists like a Nas or, you know, Jay-Z that came to prominence in the 90s saying that they don't want to use that sound anymore. They want to expand. But then you have all of these new artists that come out and they use those 90s type beats and they come out with something and everybody loves it. So I'm always confused by that. You know, for example, on Lil Wayne's new album, he has a joint where they basically just jack the beat from G-Dep, the Spatial Delivery. Mm-hmm. And everybody loves it. And I'm like, well, if you're going to rap over basically a 90s beat or take on a 90s beat, why not have all of these 90s artists come out with the same kind of stuff that brought them in, like you said, the bitch that they brought to the dance? I'm a little confused by that.
And especially, you know, like I was very pained by what came about with Nasir. You know, I just thought that Nasir was just a clear disappointment, especially with the title being Nasir. When I hear Nasir, mm-hmm. I want it to be something that wasn't rushed, which it was. And, I mean, the beat selection, if those are Kanye's beats, those are definitely throwaway beats from even Kanye. So, you know, I think maybe he didn't go that way because he recently, before that, he released the anniversary album for Illmatic. So
yeah.
Maybe it'd have been too close to that.
To me, that's exactly the time to do it.
Well, perhaps, right. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, and I just think it would have just, you know, it would have showed the young people that aren't familiar with Nas who Nas really was. Because I think he was spitting on that album, but just sonically, it was just like,
I don't think was the album he wanted to drop anyway. Because you remember. With Khaled, he dropped that song, Nas album, Done.
Yeah, right.
And that was mad long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So he probably got a project that he shelved to go into Kanye's mm-hmm. concept and make this bullshit right. that he dropped.
Mm-hmm. And which, then, you know, they were rushing that Good Music.
Those seven track extravaganzas that everybody dropped. So.
So on Good Music, is John Legend the only one that has the clout to say, Kanye, you ain't fucking my project up.
I mean, it could be also his sound is so unique where, you know, I can't imagine him meshing with, you know, say, I mean, I guess he could. I guess he's very versatile, but perhaps it could be like that. But his tone is going to be definitely different from the rest of the projects, you know, that come out on that record company. So who knows? Who knows what's going on? Who knows what the budget was like? You know, we don't even know.
I know he got that EGOT, so his budget going to be through the roof now.
Yeah, I think it seems like now more than ever, collaborations are based on notoriety more so than what you've put out recently. So I think, you know, when everybody heard that Nas was going to have an album produced by Kanye West, because Kanye West has been so out in the media, you know, there was a lot of buzz around it. But, you know, when you heard the finished product, it was very disappointing.
Very disappointing. To me, so. Very disappointing.
I was hurt. I was actually hurt.
First of all, when you saw the 7 tracks, you just like, oh.
Yeah, and I know that's become a trend too. Like, people don't put out full albums now. Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of EPs.
And then I like how they put lipstick on a pig and dress that shit up and feed it to us to say and drop EP off of it. Motherfucker, that's an EP.
Yeah.
That's not a fucking project.
Yeah.
The fuck? Anyway, something that might make Longfingers happy over there, to hear one of the greats getting some shine these days. Your boy, Slick Rick.
Yes.
Is spearheading a fashion line with MCM and Nordstrom's.
No, I didn't hear about that. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's going to be the, I guess, sort of the lead person on this new line. And he got some wild shit on there. I mean, when I say wild shit, I'm talking about doggy backpacks. Like, backpacks for your pooch. Like, what? MCM backpacks for your pooch, my nigga. That's
wow.
Okay. Like, I mean, the luggage line is...
I wonder what made him come to him.
Nigga, doggy backpacks for your pooch.
Oh, that's going. That's a bit much.
Wow. That's a bit much.
But who's is it not going to sell?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who's the demographic he's selling to, though?
No, you gonna
motherfuckers that can afford it.
A lot of them dreadhead midgets going to wear them.
He got some, dope umbrellas and luggage. I mean, he's doing it. And he's putting that... He's putting that old school flair in it, and he's making it hot.
Right.
Kane did something like that. He came out with a new shoe line. Well, not a new shoe line. He's resurrected the British Walkers signature shoe. He announced this, I think, last year. So I guess that's kind of a trend. They're going to, I guess, what they consider fashionable old school artists and getting them to put out, resurrect these new lines and things. So.
And I mean, I think that was a great choice for them, because Slick Rick was always,
even though
he never got the credit for it, he was always the fashion plate.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. True, so, pressure. I mean, he was rocking the white wink minks way before Puffy.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So, yeah,
he was
so
fly.
Shouts out to him for keeping that paycheck going. You know what I mean. Right. And honestly, I think he's another person that still has a shitload of material left in him. Yeah. If he can just get with some nice producers,
you can go.
I would love to hear a whole lot more from Mr. Slick Rick himself.
Mm-hmm. Man, you know what? Now you're gonna have me going back and listening to Adventures of Slick Rick on the way home. Now,
amazing.
I love it. I love that joint. That's like, yeah, that to me, that's one you gotta have in your. In your catalog, you know?
Absolutely. I'm going to tell you one joint I can't get out of my head is, the name escapes me right now. The joint he did with Outkast.
Art of Storytelling,
yes.
Yeah.
Good God.
He did two with Outkast. He did Art of Storytelling, and he did
something at the bar with the Q. Is that his?
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it.
I can hear the song in my head, but I can't remember the title of the song. But yeah, he and it was Big Boy from
Outkast.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I mean, so I kind of dabble. You know, I'm not with all the gossip. I just flip through a lot of the things on Instagram or what have you. So, you know, naturally there was some friction between, you know, the prominent white rappers. Machine Gun Kelly and of course Eminem,
you know, white on white crime.
Yeah, you know. So you know, I thought, you know, so what was it? Rap Devil. Rap Devil, yeah. Was one of the shots in Eminem, and then Eminem returned with Kill Shot. You know, so two dudes going at it. You know, I think I remember with, and you know, Eminem touched on it a bit, where MGK was just such a fan of Eminem's, and suddenly it's. The fan turns into the enemy, you know. So it was, you know, did a good launch. It was a good launching pad for Eminem to launch his project, being it had like no promotion coming out. Now it's like one of the top selling albums out there, you know. So yeah. It's just a funny scenario how I thought that just even in that beef situation, you know, I appreciated it from the standpoint that, you know, with all these SoundCloud rappers and however these guys get out, YouTube rappers or whatever, however they get out, you know, they're kind of missing that element. So when Eminem challenged some of these young guys, they, you know, they're just responding on Twitter saying, oh man, Eminem this, Eminem that, instead of getting back on wax and attacking this guy. That's why I really like what Machine Gun Kelly did, is like, you know, he got back in there and showed that he's a rapper for real. You know what I'm saying? Whether he was going at us, you know, a prominent rapper like Eminem or not, you know. So I just thought, you know, I enjoyed that element of beef and that challenge coming out, and somebody stepping up to even a guy like Eminem, who's known to be a battle rapper, known to be a guy that's, you know, you say one thing to him, he's going to say, you know, he's going to drop an atomic bomb on you, you know. So,
and supposedly the beef started because Machine Gun Kelly made a comment about Eminem's daughter.
Oh yeah, right.
That's supposedly how it started.
Right.
He basically said she was hot.
Right.
And Eminem took exception to that and said something about him. And, you know.
So they both dropped diss tracks against each other.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And they were both pretty good, though.
They were good?
Yeah,
okay.
I thought so. And, you know, you're going to have, you know how it is nowadays. You know, the world is so divided. People going are so emotional about things. They're going to choose one side because they hate another just without being objective. And I thought they were just like, they need to do a third. It's kind of like, it's one of those kind of situations.
So what about M's album? Any of y'all heard his album?
Yeah.
I heard. Yeah. That's cool. I've never been one to run out and get, I respect him as a lyricist. I've never been one to run out and get his albums. I've never been.
I used to love his old shit.
Yeah, his old stuff was good. I mean, dope. But you know, it was like, what's that album? Not Relapse. I kind of like Relapse, even though I know Eminem spoke against it himself. But what's the one, Revival? It was in that same vein. It wasn't his best work. Was he spitting on there? Of course. That's what he does. You know what I'm saying? He's always going to find little crevices on the notepad that are just going to be like, wow, nobody else is really spitting like that. But still had kind of like a childish banter element to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's who he is. That's just, you know, that's just who he is. That's how he's made his money. That's how he's made his name. So can you really say it was bad in that respect? That's who he is. That's who he's selling himself as, you know?
Right.
So maybe a 7 out of 10, I'll give it.
Wow.
Maybe, yeah, you know.
What does Eminem have to gain out of beefing with somebody like Machine Gun Kelly?
Well, I just think that's who he is. Pride. That's just who he is. Like, he's a battle rapper by nature. And he takes on all challenges. And that's what I felt was, I feel that's important, because you got these guys just making albums that have really no direction to them. No, the song, maybe it's me, but a lot of the, you know, I'm just generalizing because I'm not really in that. I'm not so entertained as much by some, you know, these newer, younger rappers. But it doesn't seem like there's much direction through the course of even a song. Mm-hmm. I can't gain any idea, you know, I can gain what these people are about, but, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any, you never know what position they're really taking on anything. And Eminem is always going to let you know what's on his mind.
I think it gives him a little bit of relevance.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, Machine Gun Kelly is, you know, he's in that new crop of rappers. So, you know, when he's got a beef with somebody like Eminem, you know, what it does for Eminem is it introduces him to you know, a new group of fans right. that may not be aware of who he is, because whether we realize it or not, Eminem is, by all accounts, he's pretty much considered old school.
Yeah, he's 20 plus years in the game.
You know what I mean? Exactly. So he's old school now. So for him to be, you know, everything now is about, you know, right. if you're popping in social media. And that little thing between him and Machine Gun Kelly certainly put his name back out right. there. So he benefits from it.
Absolutely.
I heard an interview with Young M.A., and she said something that I guess sort of hit home with me, in the sense of that whole beef and everything. The way Eminem rhymes when he's doing a diss track is in and of itself dated. It used to be, in a sense, cute to just make up a bunch of things to just say that, just, you know, like, oh, you walk around with dicks in your butt, and you know, whatever. But in today's diss tracks, as made famous by Pusha T, the art of a diss track is finding that dirt yeah. on your opponent and exposing yeah. them, and lifting that sheet off of their facade.
Well, I don't think Eminem has ever been shy about not pulling your card. I think he does. He's always pulled cards and diss tracks, and he did in Killshot. I don't think he.
I got to go back and listen to it again, because, like yeah. I said, all I remember was hearing a whole bunch of.
He did throw some hijink stuff in there. He did.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's nothing where you're like, "Ooh, I didn't know that."
Right. You know, he didn't right, do nothing right, to right. make oh, yeah, me say, "Oh shit!" Yeah, like, right. He might have bodied yeah, that nigga's career with that rhyme.
Yeah, probably yeah. true. Like, if you think about like Jay-Z, like when he was going to Mobb Deep.
Oh yeah.
You know, he said some real personal
yeah,
shit.
Right.
Had the motherfucking pictures of them, them niggas in two songs.
Yeah. It's true. Like, you can rhyme all you want to. If you say something about me that I can't deny,
right, true. Yeah.
It's game over.
No, right. Indeed. Yeah.
So
true.
I guess with that being said, the art of the battle, is it going to be where, I mean, like you said, this whole thing will start over him saying something about his daughter. Are we going to be grown up enough or artists enough to say, okay, I'm going to say shit that may include your daughter, your mama, or whatever, that may or may, you know, that may be true or whatever. We're going to keep this on wax, or we're going to have more dead rappers, because the niggas' feelings going to be hurt.
Right.
I think the problem with it being on wax is that social media is so popping that you've already heard about most of this stuff before it even makes the song.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that kind of takes some of the sting out of a diss record. You know, like, these guys are so quick to get on Twitter or get on Instagram or whatever and say what they have to say. So by the time you come out with a record and you're saying all these things that you're supposedly exposing, people already know. So the element of surprise is gone.
Right. True. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, you know.
I mean, what they say? They said Drake gave up that bag to try to find some shit on Pusha.
Yeah, true that.
And couldn't do it. I mean, although there's some accounts that say, oh, he had some shit. And,
well, they say he had no shit on Kanye.
If he had something that he'd said.
Right, he'd launched that shit.
He'd been said it.
I don't want to hear that bullshit, nigga. You got worked.
Anytime you got the, who was the dude, the Ghetto Boys manager, or the dude that owned Rap-A-Lot Records, he's out there. I told him not to say nothing.
But I thought he said that toward Kanye. I thought that was more related toward Kanye.
Nah, that was towards Drake. Was he told Drake, don't do it.
Yeah, no. What I mean, it was related, like, I thought Drake had something on Kanye that would, you know, change the...
I don't know.
I thought that was supposed to be pushing. Supposedly he had someone pushing too that would have ended his career.
Supposedly.
I'm like, supposedly.
I'm like, I don't know.
Allegedly.
So, of course, the buzz was, what's this supposed thing that he had on him? And right. you never heard anything about it. So it was like, all right.
The next thing you heard was, Kiki, do you love me?
I really thought Duppy was more, what's the Adonis? I thought Duppy was more sophisticated, the way it was dropped, when it was dropped. I thought it was just, I thought it was, it sounded better. I just thought it was a lot of things around it that, I didn't think it was really that noteworthy of beef, but I just thought it sounded sonically was better, in my opinion, than what's the Adonis? I can't remember the name of the track. Something like Adonis. You know, the return track.
J-Dub, what was Pusha's track? Comeback track?
It's like the story of Adonis, you know.
Right.
Jay-Z beat.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. I'm trying to think of what the name of that joint was.
All right. So, can we talk?
Let's talk.
Oh, man.
That was a segue. Anybody in the DMV that listens to or used to listen to KYS back in the day, they'll remember the sound of hearing someone say, "Little Tevin Campbell." Y'all remember Lil' Tevin Campbell?
Oh, yeah. Lil' Tevin Campbell.
Lil' Tevin Campbell. Anyway, what's y'all take on Tevin Campbell these days?
Oh, he's still around? Period.
Is he alive? That's what y'all going there?
I remember Prince.
All I could think of, I remember Ashley Banks. That's all I could think of when I think of Tevin Campbell.
Deepsters, when you address these gentlemen, I want you to address them personally as longfingers@yahoo.com. Listen, don't blow my... Clearly, coming for Tevin Campbell these days is a no-no. It is forbidden. So, When there was talk of doing a tribute, Aretha Franklin tribute, and Tevin's name was brought up, someone that goes by the name of Awesomely Lovely had the nerve to tweet, "Someone suggested Tevin Campbell to sing at Aretha's tribute. Under what rock did they pull that name from?"
Oh, wow.
Black Twitter didn't feel too...
It was like the Bayhive just jumped on him.
Man, I'm gonna tell you, people came out. The Woodworks people are like, Wale jumped in and said, you know, "No Tevin slander shall prosper." People were coming out with rebuking any Tevin Campbell slander for millennials and plotting to write him into an episode of Queen Sugar somehow.
Wow.
I mean, Missy Elliott was out there like, you know, have we gotten so far away from real R&B that people have forgotten real singing and questioning who Tevin Campbell is? And I mean, dude, I mean, they went on this chick and like,
I don't know who the hell.
What's interesting is when you think about like the tribute that they did at her funeral, how does Ariana Grande get the nod for that? You know what I mean? You're over a Tevin Campbell, you know, if we're comparing the two.
Absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know how. And to me, it's always a lot of politics in this. It's like, okay, she's a new artist. She's out there. She's relevant to these younger. And it almost seems like it was an effort to kind of make younger people aware of who Aretha Franklin is.
Bridge the gap, man.
I don't think you need to do that. I mean, if you don't know who she is, you know, you got to do your homework, but I don't think it should be a concerted effort to put artists out there to bridge that gap. At a funeral, she's a legend, period. I mean, there's no question about it. If she's not, you know, if you're not of an age where you know who she is, so be it.
Now, I mean, I can say that I'm probably the only one in this room that I recently attended a Tevin Campbell concert. And when I say recently, I think it was 5 years, maybe. Yeah. 4 or 5 years. I mean, for his career, that's right. Awesome. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? And there was an awesome moment in the show where, y'all remember in the Five Heartbeats, When my man came out singing, the chick in the front row was just melting.
Right.
It was like, it was literally like that. Like people were just kind of like, just sitting there with their mouths open like, the fuck? So like Tevin like literally stopped the show and was like, "I want y'all to be honest with me. I want to see a show of hands. How many of y'all for real didn't think I could sing anymore?" Everybody put their fucking hand up. Man, he shut that building down.
Damn.
When I say shut it down, man, I'm talking about like prime of his career. Shut it down. Like that dude hasn't missed his stuff. If nothing, his voice has gotten stronger, cleaner, sharper. I mean,
must still be in the choirs.
I don't know what he doing.
I'll tell you, got their voice back.
As long as you're not in the bathroom with him, you all right. Oh,
wow. Goodness.
That's the last I heard about him. It's like, is that, dog?
So, I mean, I'll tell you, got their voice back. I was very surprised. I was looking at the video, and it had the RBRM cat singing, and Bobby Brown was singing one of his joints. And you know, up to that point, it sounded like he was gargling with broken glass.
Glass shard.
You know what I'm saying? Shard of glass. Wow. And that was sound like Satchmo. Oh, so man. When I heard him see he was doing Tenderoni, sounded pretty good. I was like, okay.
He must have stopped drinking that Velico.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I know I'm so fucking late to the goddamn party, but listen, I have a life, people. That's why these shows are coming out sporadically. But I finally got a chance to start. I caught up. I got the first episode of that Bobby Brown movie, TV terrible. Show. It wasn't terrible. You tripping. I didn't like that shit. Did you trip him?
You liked it?
I've seen the first half. I liked it. And one thing I do like about it, even though people can say what the hell they want, I'm glad the fuck that they green-lighted putting that shit out there that Bobby wasn't the influence on Whitney.
Yeah,
that everyone
I like that.
That we all thought, right. You know. Whitney was out there. She was out there. Right.
I mean, Bobby had his habits, but she had her habits.
Listen, you right. Go see that Whitney Houston movie? Her brother's in the movie talking about we ran laps around Bobby when it came to drugs. This is her brother putting it out there in that Whitney documentary.
Right.
So, even if it's out there.
Even if you saw being Bobby Brown, like, Whitney was, for lack of a better word, a bitch.
I can only remember one thing from being Bobby Brown. There was one episode when they were talking about Bobby had to take a spoon and scoop a dookie ball out of her butt because she was constipated.
I saw that.
I don't remember that.
Did y'all really just say that shit on TV?
Man, that's love right there.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He was like, that's love. That's what Bobby Brown was saying. I remember
scoop
that.
A joint. Out of
her. Yeah, they did him wrong at a funeral, dog. They locked him out at a funeral, though. Like, man.
That's crazy. That's fucked up.
Yeah, she was a total B-word.
Diva. She was a diva.
She was a diva. She had her own
sense of the word.
Yeah, absolutely.
She had her own issues, and they covered that up because
it
spoke to the narrative that she was this angelic person
right.
That had this wonderful voice. She had her set of issues before Bobby Brown came on the scene.
Yo, who was the chick that tried to accuse her of doing crack and she had to shut her down and say crack is a poor people's drug?
Oh, Barbara Walters.
Yo, funniest shit ever, yo. She's like, crack is a poor people's drug.
She's like, I make too much money to do crack. Wow. You're doing something.
Right, but if she'd have sneezed at that moment, she'd have motherfucking had a snowstorm in the studio.
Fucking nose was bleeding when she got in that motherfucker. They gave her 10 napkins to get that blood out of her nose when she got in there.
No.
Oh, shit.
Good God, Whitney. Anyway,
God bless her.
I'm surprised you said that was God. That is.
I wouldn't feel you.
If nothing else for the fact that they, like, actually were singing those songs in there and recreated those videos.
Here's what I'll say about it. Here's what I didn't like about it. And I guess part of the problem with me is I'm comparing it to the New Edition joint, which I thought was really, really well done.
It's the same thing to me.
Nah, some of the stuff with Bobby Brown, like him sitting in the corner selling drugs and giving Bammers a nod like he was some drug kingpin, I thought that was a little bit far-fetched. Come on, Bobby.
He wasn't the kingpin. He was the nigga that had the money that was funding the little operation.
Yeah, but I mean, he's sitting over there and giving niggas a nod like, yeah, go ahead and get to him. Come on, dude.
That's like the wire. That's what Bodie used to do.
Yeah, but then I don't know, it didn't bring
come
truth.
On, man. That was
man. Garbage is probably too harsh. I'll say this. I didn't think it was as well done as that New Edition story. New Edition story I thought was really well
long
done.
Fingers. All right, well, we're going to take a quick moment. I'm looking around the studio and there's a bunch of empty glasses. So we're going to refill these glasses and we're going to get into a quick album review.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the UN. I am your man, Big B. So we're going to get ready to slide this thing all up into today's album review. I see hey, Bob. Like, y'all look like y'all got freestyles on the tip of your lips.
It's like ninth one to be to do that to you.
Just saying, I mean, if you got them, spit them. Go ahead, stop bobbing. Okay, all right. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so today's, hold tight, this just in. Okay. Okay. Sorry about that. So, yeah. Equipment updates are throwing me for a loop a little bit. No, we didn't get new equipment, so yes, you will still be listening to the same shoddy bullshit. Until you do something about it. But, until then, I will continue to supply shoestring, bubblegum, and duct tape to keep this ship afloat. All right, so today's album review, we are going to be reviewing the latest project by the Robert Glasper Experiment.
Oh.
Yes.
And Hill's biggest fan.
Huh?
Lauryn Hill's biggest fan.
How about that? So, the new album is called K-Tranda, the Science Art, the Art Science Remixes. So, we'll, I'm going to skip the intro. It's only 8 tracks. Well, there's an intro and outro that I'm going to skip. So, there's 6 tracks. So, we will, just jump right on in with track number 2, No One Like You. Different ones. Good minute with No One Like You, Robert Glasper. Speak on the gods.
Definitely. I guess you. What was that? What's that girl's name? I can't think. She got. I can't think of the name of this song.
The lady singing is Alex Isley.
Definitely a mild voice. Definitely. I would have loved to hear the intro and see how that would have gone into this first track. Because I guess maybe there's not enough to go on quite yet to get a tone of what she's trying to accomplish with her project. But
It's a he.
Oh,
okay. Robert Glasper.
Oh, whoops.
That was just a female.
I thought you said Roberta. You know what I'm saying? that's all I heard was the female. I didn't hear anything else.
Robert Glasper is a jazz pianist.
Oh, okay. Well, damn. It shows you how much you know, man. If it ain't rap, then I'm learning today. So this is a learning session for me, y'all. I forgive my statements.
So what do you guys think of the track in and of itself as a contemporary jazz track?
I thought it was cool. You know, it's got that typical kind of neo-soul feel to it, you know, that kind of started making its presence felt like beginning of the 2000s, you know, outside, it didn't really catch on, I think, as much as people thought it would have, you know, outside of, you know, the Erykah Badus and Jill Scott, you know, there's a lot of underground groups that make music that sounds very similar to that. And then that beat that they had on it is actually something called Jungle that was really, really popular in England in the mid-2000s. So it's cool. Okay. I like it.
Nice fact to know right there, because it sounded mad familiar.
Yeah.
It
was very, very, very popular in England around the 96s, and they call it Jungle, and everything sounded like...
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
It's cool, though.
That sounds like walking into the jazz lounge for me. That's what it sounds like.
That's what it is. I mean, most of the music like this, it's like you hear stuff like this, and you hear what they call trip-hop with, like, Mark Sheba and Portishead and stuff like that. That's what this sounds like.
Right.
All right.
Man, that's why I love being on this show with y'all, man, because y'all have such a wide scope, especially, you know what I'm saying? So I appreciate it.
Well, all right. Trying to get this. Yeah, I gotta work with me.
Oh, man. We have a technical difficulty.
You gotta feed them hamsters some more food and start running again.
Somebody's picture from?
Nah.
Alright, somebody's phone was lunching. Alright, give me 1 second. Yeah.
It can't be me. Them joints is off.
Move them away from the mic for me. Or somebody move their phone away from the mic. There you go. All right.
Oh.
All right. So, before we even get going, things want to crash.
Oh my.
Oh.
Okay. Let's see if this did the trick. All right. So the next track is Thinking About You, featuring Talib Kweli.
Whoa. Okay. Go. People ask and wanna know where is my mind.
All right, so now I was thinking about you.
So, sounded like just a loop to me. I mean, I liked it. Was that with Quelly in the background?
That's a good question.
I didn't know if that was him or not.
Yeah, I was waiting for Quiet. I was like, is he going to start?
Sitting there listening, but yeah, it just sounded Quiet, like a loop just going over and over again.
Thinking about you.
From New York to L.A.
Yeah.
You know, I was really waiting for Common to get on there or something. It sounds like something.
That sounds like something Common.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I was like, oh, man, that probably would have been a good fit.
What I got early on from this project was, I think Robert is trying to show off a little bit more of his producer skills than actually his artist.
Work on the keys.
Pianist skills. So, but it's all to me like, and I don't want to disrespect the project, but it's like, to me, it's like awesome background music. You know what I mean?
It's like
a soundtrack for just a good day. Just cleaning up. You know, chilling, you're doing something, you're getting some schoolwork done.
Right.
You know, whatever. That's just.
Sets the mood a little
bit. Yeah, it's just off in the background. Doing its thing.
Right.
It's enough not to distract you, but enough to kind of keep the good vibes going.
Right.
And that's sort of what I got early on from the project. Anybody else?
Yeah, and I also think that. Just in that thinking about you, I mean, it kind of tells where his mind is coming from that first track to this one. You know, definitely his heart somewhere, even when he's on the road, you know. So, I mean, I like that element of somebody being open and vulnerable with us, you know, even in as slight as it may sound, you know, so early on. So, we'll see what goes into the rest of the project.
Sounds like lounge music to me, like what Brian was saying. Like, you getting a drink with your people, and... it's not loud enough that you gotta yell over the music to talk to each other. But it's cool enough. You're getting a little drink and you got a little head bob.
Cigar
going.
Music.
And you couldn't have said it any better because this is a lot of what the lounge was 10 years ago.
Yep.
You know, where you just had, that's what made it, and when I say the lounge, I'm talking about DC's 18th Street Lounge. That's what made it such a great place to go and hang out and talk and vibe with your peoples, because you could have great music playing in the background, but not overshadow your conversation and not overshadow your meet and greet or whatever it is, you know, what your business was there that evening. So, yeah, that was, that's what I got. So let's jump to the next one. It's called Day to Day.
Day to Day.
Different place.
It's now, never, forever. The moment is right here for the taking. To walk away would be a mistake. You give me the feeling I'm needing, wanting to be the one to offer the greatest gift that man's ever known. I'm living day.
Hey. So that's day to day. Someone that has listened to, I think I've listened to pretty much all of his projects before this. I was always impressed on how he has the ability to let someone else be the star on his project. He plays the back. I guess sort of being a pianist, you know, it's an instrument that unless you just do solos all day long, it's not an instrument that's going to just jump out at you at all times. So I'm sort of impressed on how, you know, if you listen to his other projects, he always has amazing lead vocals from Jill Scott, Music Soul Child, Layla Hathaway. All of these artists are prominent on his work. And so I guess it takes a degree of humility to kind of just say, you know, because you hear these songs and you originally say, oh, that's a Jill Scott song. He has one track that I know all of us have heard and identified as being a Jill Scott song, but it's not, you know. So I don't know if I could be that person.
Well, let me ask you, is he just innately a producer?
No, he is, first and foremost, he's a jazz pianist.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I mean, I think that maybe, yeah, like, he's not letting the... For him to share the spotlight is definitely admirable, but it also seems to maybe he's just been in the music scene so much and he knows where he is and he knows what could accent his work. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he just wants to make beautiful music. And I thought with this particular track, he's definitely spent, the tempo was raised some and it was mm-hmm. a little bit more melodious. So I think as a whole, maybe he just had an objective with his entire project. To where he was inviting people in to just make the best work he could possibly make. He must have had a vision going in. So, who knows? But that, yeah.
No. You good? I don't know if y'all noticed this, but like, there's no like words. Like, basically, it's like an instrumental. It's everything we've heard so far is instrumentals. And if there is like some singing, it's like four lines here and there.
There's no cool. Verses, so, right?
I mean, I think it would be better off just being like an instrumental, you know what I mean? I mean, I know, like B said, I didn't know that he uses music to showcase other artists. But right here, it doesn't sound like he's showcasing any artists because there's no like substance to anything other than the music that you hear.
I think, well, for one, Robert Glasper does a lot of work as a, it's kind of like a hired house band. Like, he had that now infamous interview a few months back where he went at Lauryn Hill, and the the beginning of that was him speaking about his experience going on tour with her and his band backing her while they were on tour. So I think by trade he's used to kind of playing the background and you know, providing, you know, the soundscape for it. So I think that's something that, you know, and first and foremost, that's what he does. I don't think he's used to being the guy in the forefront. So I think it just comes natural for him. What's interesting listening to his tracks also is how similar the elements sound to, you know, stuff that like Rafael Sadiq has done, who is a great producer in his own right, you know. So you can tell that there's a lot of kind of cross references as far as the influences are concerned. Mm-hmm.
So, just real quick, not to get off of this project, but I was speaking about that Jill Scott track. This is the one I was talking about. You always come. So yeah, you know, you And, you know, he, like I said, you know, he goes on, he does tracks with Dwele, Marsha Ambrosia, Anthony Hamilton, Faith, Norah Jones, Snoop, Lupe Fiasco. I mean, it's just Layla, Eric Robinson. So, yeah,
he's out there.
Yeah. So, you know, he really throws other people else into that spotlight. So let's get back to the... there's also an interlude that I'm going to skip. So from 8 tracks, we're down to 5. So this next track is... it's called Find You. Try not to blow your eardrums out.
Why'd you have to go away? Like you're packed and sewed away, sewed away. Give the past to yesterday and reveal your hideaways. All this time I've waited so I can get back.
All right, Find You featuring Iman Omari. I think it sort of fits in that same scope. It's I don't want what I'm saying at all sound like I'm dissing this album, but I can picture an overcast day, cool fall overcast day, and taking a hell of a fucking nap.
No, I feel what you mean.
With that, I just sort of, you right, know, what right. I'm, like some people need that. What is it? Those nature sounds and stuff like this could just relax the fuck out of me.
Absolutely,
and you know, get me to wind down a bit.
I think that's his intent. I think that's kind of the vibe that he's putting out there. It's, you know, it isn't party music. It's not something that you put on at a party and everybody start stepping. It isn't that kind of music. It's really like laid back, kind of chill music.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And like you said, when you said fall, that's what I felt. I started to feel the elements of autumn.
Right.
When he was, you know, as he was going on with this track. But, you know, I was also thinking, as J Dub was saying, it's like, it would suffice just being instrumental, mm-hmm. you know, which is nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all.
You know what I'm saying? It's very enjoyable, very relaxing. I feel at peace. Right. You know, it's just refreshing, you know.
And then, you know, just, I guess, having listened to a lot of his other stuff, you know, I've sort of been able to kind of almost tune out whatever lyrically is going on and listen to him.
Right.
And
yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. So I'm listening to it, and I'm trying to think of rappers or whoever I think would go on there. And that last one right there, I thought Mos Def would, like, be perfect for that song.
And he probably wouldn't even rhyme on it. He'd probably sing.
Yeah, right.
This also sounds like it could be a Common album. You know,
that's true. That's true.
That could be.
Yeah.
Who knows? All right, so let's get into not the last track of the album, but the last one that we're going to play, because it has an intro, an interlude, and outro. This one is called Written in Stone.
All right.
Sure did. That is one thing that has been said. I don't want to put nobody's business out there, but Slick, I'm surprised you haven't said this. This is some great shit to smoke to.
Oh, see, I mean, shit, you can smoke to anything as far as I'm concerned. But wow. You know, but I feel you. Definitely some chill stuff. I mean, what I really want to do, and look, maybe I'll get to this when we're all at the end, but I'll just speak to this track. He added the drums in there real hard on this one,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A little bit harder than the rest of the stuff. Yeah. And definitely, he was building up to this point. That's what it felt like. You know what I'm saying? It just felt like he was just building up a melody, and he's conveying something. And I couldn't necessarily understand the words, but it seems like I'm thinking about you. Day to day, this. So I don't know. Is he setting himself up for heartbreak? Is this because he's away all the time? New York, from New York to L.A., from UK, Japan to U.K. You know, and then we're going into this track. Is he so far away from his relationship that it can't sustain itself? I don't know.
Damn, you went deep for that one, boy. Jean Cousteau deep.
Jean Cousteau deep.
You know, I'm sure ODB ever used Jacques Cousteau in a reference. And, what was that?
Jacques Cousteau could never get this low. Right. Rapping in is what's happening. Keep your pockets fattening.
So, flapping. I'm so glad, Sleek, that you brought up the drums. Because I've always loved what he's done with muffling the drums, with doing the offbeat. Drum patterns, and there's one song he had on an early album that I want to play a little bit of. He did a take on Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and then I want to play a little bit of that.
And we're not just entertainers.
If a lot of people pull down.
Just random, I don't know if y'all hear that bass drum in the background. Just all over. And then another one I'm going to play a little piece of is He did a take on Cherish the Day, Sade's track with Layla. Which, again, the drums on it, I just appreciate it.
Cherish the day. Won't go astray. Don't be afraid. Won't catch me running.
That's just I like some of how he arranges his beats almost as if there is no arrangement.
Right.
Very Jay Dilla-esque kind of programming.
I love that. Just that means you have so much confidence in your ability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to where you could just throw it out there when you want to. You see a lot of, I'm gonna tell you another guy that does that, Sango. You're familiar with Sango? He does a lot of shows now. He's from, I think, Seattle. He's from the Pacific Northwest, I know. He does
Sango. Okay.
Yeah, he does a lot of, I love Sango. But he has a tendency to just like, and Butter and Salmon. These are instrumental guys that I always listen to, and they tend to just throw their stuff out. You never know what's going to hit you next, you know what I'm saying? And I think, isn't that what you want from music, just to be surprised? Or just anything, entertainment in general, you just want to be surprised, because if it's standard, then you know what to expect.
Yeah, there's nothing to look forward to.
Yeah, you know, it takes away from the entertainment a bit, in my opinion, you know, but...
I agree.
You know, I mean, I like what I've heard thus far. I mean, just in turn, you know, it's just mellow. I mean, it's kind of put me in a mood today where it's like, you know what, damn, let me enjoy this fall day today. You know?
Shit, fall day, it's going to be like 85 degrees today.
Right? You're right.
Yesterday was a fall day. Fuck.
Yeah, true indeed.
I mean, it's definitely the kind of stuff I would play, like if I had to play a DJ session where I played at the beginning before people got there.
Yeah, nah, you know, I mean, it's definitely not bad music. It's really good music,
it's
for sure.
It's very,
but I tell
true.
You what, off topic, that last song, all I could think of was that Zero. You remember Zero on the most?
He did the same thing, right? Yeah.
That's
right.
All I was thinking of when I heard that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, are we at the point where we can critique it a bit? You know, there's a whole. So, I am curious to hear more from this guy. And, you know, like I said, Big B, I am very appreciative of you. We've talked so much about hip hop. We did Cardi B the last time. I can't believe it was that long ago, but we did that album.
We did that a couple times. Yeah. A couple podcasts ago.
Really, was that long? Yeah,
that
damn.
Was the first one.
Really?
That first one was Cardi B.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Well, damn. So I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? You know, it ain't worth two squirts of piss, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, what I appreciate about this is just like, this is a change of pace, and it made me think, like, you know, because like I said, I still have some aspirations to make music. I'm just tripping over myself. And this, what this did was kind of like bring me back to, you know, there's so much more to appreciate than just hip hop.
Broaden your horizons.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like.
Yeah, Glasper's stuff is a lot of his stuff is like this. He has a joint that I like with Eric Badu called Afro Blue. Mm-hmm. That's tight. But
absolutely,
his a lot of his stuff is like this, and he does a lot of collaborations with artists that you're familiar with, you know, at least on the R&B tip. He does, you know, some stuff with Common and Talib Kweli before they had, and I think he was part of this collective. They had a collective called, yep, you got it right there. That's it right there. The Soulquarians, and it was like Q-Tip. It was Questlove from The Roots. Talib Kweli, Erykah Badu, you know, a whole bunch of like-minded artists that were kind of on that neo-soul kind of cool-out hip-hop tip. And I believe Robert Glasper was in that collective. I'm not sure. Okay.
So does he have his own band, or does he just get like guests, like guitarists?
He's got, drummers? I think he's got his own band, and then what he gets is featured artists on his, you know, on his stuff.
And after the show, I got this stuff called Soulection that I gotta let you guys hear too. It's on my phone, but there's a host of beats that are.
They got a podcast, right?
No, I don't. This is long. I've had this on my iTunes for years.
They have a podcast online where you can go listen to them, and they play stuff like this, like, yeah, every day.
Yeah. So I was big on that, especially like back in 2004, 2005, and so that's another thing too. It's like nostalgia almost, where this is kind of what I was listening to in my college days. I was big, you know, when B came out when I first went to college, and B from Common. And so this kind of like brings me back to that element of, you know what, that music can still be done.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's around the time they had that Soul Quarians thing out.
Yeah.
It also puts me in the mind of the, I don't know if you guys heard any of those Verve tracks. Or the, oh my God, I can't, slips my mind now. Where they were taking a lot of the older songs and putting them to the current hip hop beats.
Yeah. I do remember that. They did a bunch of remixes with like the Jackson 5. Like they had a real good one with I Want You Back. And they put new hip hop beats to that. And, I Want to Be Where You Are. They did a good one with that.
Yeah. I can't remember the one. That was on top of my tongue. Anyway, so we're going to get ready to wrap this thing up. Y'all hear this equipment going crazy in here, so. I know what to do.
Equipment like I'm quitting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want to hear that good old producing like I accustomed to hearing. Open your wallets, goddammit. Get this shit fixed. We need equipment in here. And spilled so much beer and liquor and shit on shit.
Goddamn.
Motherfucking former members of the podcast stealing shit, microphones on their way out.
Damn. What?
You know, that ain't happening. I ain't in jail.
I was about to say, is that why we got the foam cups with the string on it and shit?
Playing telephone.
No doubt. So anyway, we're going to wrap this up. I definitely thank you all for tuning in and being patient with us. As we get back to getting back on the grind, man, you know, summer ended, school started back. Baby girls in high school, Longfinger sending his babies off to college. It's just happening, man. Slick doing some transitions in his life. J Dub is just a ratchet Asian half-breed person.
Yeah, a lot about that. To the day that I die.
Ain't found a cognac he don't like yet.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, dog, he love that brown damn liquor, boy.
I love my liquor like I love my women.
Good God. Brown and thick, huh?
Brown and thick.
No problems. So, we got to get out of here, man. Appreciate you much. I'm your man, Big B. For Long Fingers. Sleek.
Yo.
J-Dub.
Yes, sir.
We are the Un. We hope you tune in, share the show with your folks. If you got feedback, if you want to send in. Oh, damn. You know, we forgot a whole portion of the show, didn't we?
The music challenge.
We forgot the music challenge.
Yeah, the one-hit wonder.
Y'all want to do the movie?
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, give us a couple minutes. Y'all, let's do this.
Let's get into it real quick. All right, you know what?
We extending the time. We going
to go overtime, son.
Do the time constraints. We are back.
Right.
The next show ain't ready to come on yet.
There you go. So, you know what? We're going to. So, today's music challenge is best one-hit wonder. Now, I'm going to start off with J-Dub. Drop this down a little bit. I'm going to start off with J-Dub because your your submission, although you may feel it was a one-hit wonder, this gentleman was not a one-hit wonder, sir. You may not remember his other tracks.
I kind of do, but to everybody else, he's a one-hit wonder.
Okay, well, this is J-Dub's submission for Best One-Hit Wonder.
Mac, I don't even understand how they didn't understand.
Oh!
Kick that old robotic.
Nah, you had to get down, Joe. Get down, his pocket. Get down, his pocket. But this was clear. This was clear in the way his best joint.
You know, I thought about this. You know what I'm saying? But
I cannot believe how everywhere this song was when it came out. If you were a DJ, you had to have this.
This shit goes still.
And you would play it three times in that night. That's a cardinal sin for a DJ. You don't play anything twice. And you play this three times, and nobody would be mad at you.
And then the remix.
Yeah, and right when it started dying down, you get a remix for LL Biggie, who was just getting started.
Yes. Shit. Oh, Rampage?
Rampage is on there. Busta Rhymes, who had just gone solo. Yeah, and then you get the old school show with old school album with LL on it.
That's what
I don't know what the hell he was talking about this song, but
she?
I mean, he used to wear blow tissues. But you know what? He talked about that on Combat Jack.
Oh, did he?
And he said that was just a thing that him and his boys would do, make up these crazy words or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, L killed it.
He killed it. L killed it. Word to mama, a tunkus, a piranha, electrocute, a barracuda. I'm here to bring the drama. Sir. Okay. So that was J-Dub's offering. We're going to get into Sleek's offering next. Oh,
wow.
This is a one-hit wonder.
Hey, dog, this was my man back in the day. I'm talking before this. All the, y'all get that started.
Damn. He got an LL's ass on this joint.
You see the picture I sent you?
Yeah. This man sends the picture of him and L dapped up. You want me to let the world know the truth? Want me to shine, you study my rhyme, and you lay your vocals at the mind. That's a bitch move, something that a homo rapper would do. So when you say that you're platinum, you only dropping clues. I study your background, read the book that you wrote, researched your footnotes.
Hey, dog, I'm gonna tell you something. Like a drug free robot. All the stuff that Cannabis was doing before this album, I was on it.
I was
killing
too.
Everything.
Yeah. Killing. We roll with the wildest nigga. That joint.
What?
How we roll? How we roll. Crazy.
This
the first thing he did on LL's joint to spark this whole thing.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, right. 4-3-2-1.
Oh, 4-3-2-1.
But that's whack.
That was on the Blackout album.
That was on Phenomenon.
Right?
Phenomenon. Yes, okay. So this is
Ed Sleeks. Let this not deter you from some other good projects that Cannabis did. Rip the Jackal was probably his best project overall. That was a pretty good album. About 10 years later.
Right.
By the time he was already forgotten.
Okay, so I'm going to jump into my offering next. My offering, I know I'm going to go way left. Come on, man. One of the best one-hit wonders.
Dexy's Midnight Runners?
Yes.
This is some giant food grocery store music right here, boy. Oh,
come on, Ollie. Every time I'm on them drinking the club, it's come on. Come on, Ollie.
Oh, yeah, this joint.
Come on, Ollie. A goddamn drink.
Oh, you took this way back.
What?
You went, no, you went way back.
Man, that's some one-hit wonder, dude.
Yeah, this joint is
some one-hit wonder. They didn't even know if they even recorded another song.
And he plays right now.
Absolutely. You dropped this just right?
Right. You dropped this at the right time of the night. Everybody on this floor. Everybody.
Wow.
Hey, you did go for this one. It was like.
I actually DJed a party
that was in a building where there were apartments under where they were having their wedding reception, and they told me that I couldn't play this song because it elicited it encouraged people to jump around.
Jump, yeah.
Wow.
And they were like, I could not play this song. It was on a list of songs I couldn't play. And this
Get
was like the
here.
Second That's song crazy. On that list.
This does give you the urge to jump.
What was the diamonds be jumping up and down?
What was number one that you couldn't play?
The Electric Slide.
Wow. Oh, they didn't want people to be active
they
at
just,
all.
Yeah, exactly. They just want people to bob their heads.
Slow dance? God damn.
Sit in the chairs.
This building out in Virginia. I was DJing somebody's wedding. They couldn't play this. Couldn't play Electric Slide.
How do you not play Electric Slide
couldn't
at a wedding?
Couldn't play the Macarena. Couldn't play none of them.
Well, Macarena is like stationary dancing.
Yeah, look, they ain't want none of that.
Nah, because at the end, you just...
Slide,
none of that.
They just want you staying your ass still.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Man. Crazy.
Must have been a bunch of wheelchair-ridden
people at this one. Okay, so in the spirit of a one-hit wonder, I ain't even going to lie. I don't want to sway our listeners because you guys are going to vote and say who you felt had the best offering for a one-hit wonder. But I'm going to just say up front, I'm going to give my vote to Longfingers because he pulled this motherfucker out of nowhere. I mean, this was such a one-hit wonder that when I looked at it, I was like, I don't remember this bitch until I listened to it. I said, God damn it. One hit wonder indeed.
Well, I mean, this is something I would have never knew would have been a one hit wonder. I would have assumed that they had something.
He didn't have nothing else.
That's
the whole point of it. Like, I think everybody recorded this. He went outside and put his trumpet up underneath a bus or something. Let them run that bitch over.
Wow.
Started selling peanuts or something. Oh, bro, I was at work. And we came up with this joke. We were like, oh, everybody was like, oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Old school. So, I mean, I dig this. I just feel like there's nothing else I can say. I mean.
So you said he hung up his trumpet after this?
Man, for real. Did you hear anything else from this cat?
No, man, shit.
I mean, but then again, would you have known if you did?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would have never knew. I would have assumed that something else on the album would have been a single.
Wow.
You can't have good love.
Yeah, that's what.
So there we go. Those are your offerings for today's song challenge.
Vote it up, folks.
If you want to, see if I can get some other music playing here. If you want to, give your submission for One Hit Wonders, you can do so and we will acknowledge it. If you want to give your vote for who you think won today's song challenge, we would love to hear from you. Or any feedback you might have for today's show, you can definitely submit that at indeepshow@yahoo.com. Usually Queen handles this for me. I don't have to turn my brain on at this portion of the show.
I don't know why this beat remind me of Live at the Barbecue for some reason.
But
I keep waiting for it.
Like that, y'all. And like that, y'all.
Also, leave your voice messages at 202-750-1437. Again, that is 202-750-1437 or 1-IDS. We look forward to hearing from you all. As I said before, I am your man, Big B. For Longfingers, Sleep,
peace out,
and J Dub, we are done. Thank you for tuning in.
Peace.